In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. And so begins the holiest 3 days of the entire year, of the entire liturgical year, of the entire history of mankind. As we enter into this evening and we go into Good and Holy Friday, into Holy and Great Saturday, into Easter morning, the resurrection morning, everything led up to this day, or these 3 days, and everything flows from these 3 days. And when I say everything, from the moment God said, "Let there be light," it was all in preparation for these 3 nights. And when I say everything leads from or proceeds from here, the consummation of the world is possible and happening because of what happens tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday night into Sunday morning. The 3 holy days, the holiest days. In particular, tonight's theme, the liturgical theme, when you listen to Vespers, the Psalms, especially the Stikra during the lamplighting Psalms. Yes, it's about this mystical supper called the Last Supper, but it's the mystical supper because Christ does something mysterious this night. He gives the true meaning to the Passover. What happened in the Old Testament where God leads Moses and the people out of Egypt into the Promised Land was a prefigurement. It was a type for the true Passover that's happening in these 3 holy days. And so the Lord gives the Passover a new meaning and the definitive meaning. And what ultimately is revealed to us in this night is a contrast between two persons, our Lord and Judas. And it all revolves around that word thrown about, bandied about so often with little appreciation for really what it means. Love. Tonight we see the person of Jesus, the Christ, who shows us what genuine, authentic, selfless love is. And we see in Judas Iscariot the revelation of what true, disordered self-love is. In essence, selfless love, or what we call rightly ordered love, is always, always creative, life-giving, and redeeming. And disordered self-love is always destructive and leads to death, to disorder, to decomposition. To grasp the profound meaning of this event called the Last Supper or the Mystical Supper, if you read in John's Gospel, we didn't hear that part of it tonight, but we hear these words from John, who's an eyewitness. He's one of the apostles. So what does he report to us about this holy night? He says, and I quote, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." End of quote. Tonight is the movement of divine love, where it began on that first day. God said, "Let there be light." And we're going to see this divine love consummated, fulfilled, completed between the resurrection, between the cross and the resurrection. Divine love created the world. And what did divine love tell Adam when he said, "Let us make man in our image and likeness"? Adam, love spoke and said, "Here's the world. Eat. Eat of it. Participate in it." And by participating in this world, Adam, it's the means of communion between you and me. But the content of this world and the aim of life was to find in this world a means of communion with God, a means to walk with God in the cool of the evening. God gave the human person food, and he made his body and his life. And the human person does what? He's made to be a priestly steward. He takes care of this creation. He cultivates this creation, and he returns it back to God. He transforms it into something beautiful for God. And all through that is communion. That's what paradise is. And that's the meaning of Eucharist. The human person was made to be a priestly steward of God's creation. And receiving the gift from God, he returns it back to God. It's the reciprocity of life-giving communion. And that is the meaning of Eucharist. But what happens? Adam and Eve sinned. And when they sinned, what did they do? They ruptured a Eucharistic life. The world ceased to be a means of reciprocity between God and man, and therefore it no longer was a place of communion. The human person began to love himself and to love this world for its own sake. The person, the human person, made himself and his or herself the content and the end of life. He said, "This is mine." And he began to mark out territory that he called his own. And there's a word for it. Man then profaned God's creation. The human person thought that the world and the food of this world alone could satisfy his own hunger, his own desires, his own thirst. But what's the problem? The world and its food do what? It all ends up rotting. It corrodes, it corrupts, it dies. And so when man began to live on the world only and its food that rots and dies, the human person came to know death because we eat that which dies. We lost communion. We lost the sacramental meaning of existence. And so now we decompose. We rot. We corrode. A communion without God, a communion only with this world, leads to death. And so on the day that Adam and Eve sinned, the human person ceased to be a priestly steward. What happened? We became slaves to our desires and our passions. Nevertheless, as we will hear tonight, in the liturgy of St. Basil, these words are prayed. And I quote, "God did not turn himself away forever from his creature whom he made. Neither did he forget the work of his hands, but he visited him in diverse manners through the tender compassion of his mercy. End of quote. In Jesus the Christ, the revelation of the mercy of God is shown to us. And with Jesus the Christ, a new divine love work began. God took upon himself our human nature. He took upon himself with that human nature our thirst, our hunger, our insatiable desire for love, our insatiable desire for life, our insatiable desire for communion. And he again made it Eucharistic. He rejected the basic human temptation to live by bread alone. And he revealed the true bread, God and his kingdom. And he showed us how that's the bread that satisfies. My brothers and sisters, that's one of the profound meanings of the event of the Last Supper. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body. Take this, all of you, and drink of it. This is my blood. God did not take away the hunger, the thirst of the human heart. He did not change his creation. Rather, he came to offer us the true food, the true drink that satisfies the human heart. It is the food not unto death, it's the food unto life, because it's the food that never decomposes, it's the food that never rots. And in contrast to the ultimate act of selfless love, this hour of the ultimate act of selfless love, what also appears? The hour of the ultimate betrayal of love. Judas left the Last Supper, the upper room of the Last Supper. And John tells us, so poetically and so truthfully, and it was night. Why did Judas leave? Was it really for silver? Oh, he loved. He did love. But the silver, my friends, only stands as symbol for all the kind of deviations and distortions of love itself. But in the end, they all do the same thing. We betray our God. Indeed, love stolen from God, Judas is rightly called the thief. And yet let us not point the finger at Judas. Each year we celebrate this night. We celebrate the unfathomable light and depth of Holy Thursday. And rather than pointing the finger at Judas, the same decisive question is proposed to you and to me. How have I been a thief? How have I followed Judas into the darkness of the night? Christ is among us.